Greetings to all. Well, I want to share with you something I've shared already, I think twice on that, or studied on that more than twice on that subject. You might ask for the title, but I would have a hard time to give a title to it. I just thought maybe call it Jesus, Center of Life. But what will come out of this, you have to judge and discern maybe for yourselves. This things in life when we ponder on and think and try to find out. Yeah? Maybe started this way. Remembering myself when we got our Bible into our house many years ago, it's probably, say 50 years or so, or maybe even longer, as we got the Bible in the house. At that time, it was hard to find the Bible. So, and one day, we did go to church, we did have church, we have the heard messages, but we never could read the Bible at home by ourselves. So somebody was reading, and so, and maybe that helps you to appreciate your Bible. So, and listening to the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God. One day, when we got the Bible, it has a special place. I took the Bible out. It was a thick book, you know, a big book. Then thought I'm heavy print, and so I start to read somewhere. And I read the passage of Jesus' sufferings and all about how it went. And I've read about the things Jesus said of himself, of his death and resurrection, and I got puzzled. Interesting. To me, it didn't match. Well, can it be? Can it be wrong here? So, that took already many years ago, that time. And I was never let go this subject in my life. I wanted to find out why is it wrong. And I couldn't ask anyone. Probably nobody could be able to explain it. So it took many years, I'd say. From that time, maybe 40 years later. At one point, it just clicked. What's wrong? So we going through the life. Reading the Bible, and sometimes we don't understand the Bible. It seems something we're missing somewhere. And at one point, I came to a book. That's not a big book, a small one. About the tabernacle. In the tabernacle, reading that book, seeing the order and everything, what is in tabernacle, how God has told Moses how to do that. And tabernacle is built, and how that whole life around the tabernacle should be, an order about around that. I found out he is something. God wants to present something here, to tell us something through this tabernacle. So we know it's just the beginning, yeah, which is not the true tabernacle, which is still coming, we'll see. And so on. And many things explained there, and I would like to you to show how Jesus is the center of the life. A little bit, I'll be hurrying through because it's a lot to cover. And I will just try to mention some scriptures. Maybe read some and just start to read, and then that's up to you later to look at the scriptures and to find out for yourselves. In Numbers chapter 2, we read, so, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, so it's God, yeah? He has a purpose in everything. And he has his order in everything. And it has to be perfect. So it lines all up, yeah? And it gives us a picture to line up our life according to God's will. Yeah? So that we can receive the blessings. And it says so, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard. So by his group, basically. With the insight saying of, or this emblem selling that, or presentation of their father's house, yeah? So there is an order. Far, it means a little distance off the tabernacle, of about the tabernacle on of the congregation shall they pitch. And on the east side towards the rising of the sun shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. And look at this, what he does. Even he says Judah. Judah was not the firstborn of Jacob, yeah? But God says Judah should be the east side. And Nashon, the son of Amminadab, shall be the captain of the children of Judah. So he even prescribes who should be the captain there. Yeah? God sets that in order. And his host, and those that were numbered of them were 64,600. So that's the number given. And then I'll stop here reading and say, if you want to go through this chapter, read it. It's everyone is said. Who is the next to Judah? With a tree on each side. And this way, yeah? And God prescribed exactly how they should pitch their tents and how, the order how they should walk and how they just start and to go when the cloud lifts or the fire pillar lifts. So they had to be in order there. It gives us a picture, like I already said. So order our life according to God's will. God is precise, particular in those things, how it should be. Yeah? And this are types and shadows of the things to come. It says actually, treasures of truth. So we have to be very careful when we read the Bible, because there's treasures of truth and types and shadows. So we kind of will deal a little bit with types and shadows, and which are the treasures of truth. Sometimes it's difficult to find out the truth, but we will try to do that. In Psalm, we'll read Psalm 19, if you want to go there. Psalm 19, verse 1 to 5. David is saying something here, very interesting, bringing out a thought, which is very interesting. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech, no language, where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words through to the end of the world. In them has he set the tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man and run a race. We see here that David speaks of about heavens declaring the glory of God. And there is a speech going, uttering one day to the other day. If we are careful in our life and go out, now not only in the daytime, we're usually up and see the sun and see sometimes the moon coming and so, but we don't see the stars. And the day and night, there is a speech going on, especially when we go at night out and watch the sky. What do you think? What is presented in the sky to us? It says, and heaven declares the glory of God, and firmament, and the firmament shows his handiwork. In the sky, at night, when we watch the sky, and all the stars, and formation of the stars, they are telling something to us. There's speech going out. The gospel is written in the sky. Are we able to understand that? Can we identify it? I think, to me, I see just stars, some formations, but I don't really know what they mean altogether. But there is a gospel, there's a speech going on. God declares the gospel already in the sky. In those formation of those stars, he presents the world today. The world today uses the same sky and presents something. What is it? What they talk about? Do you know? Who can say? Astrology. Horoscopes. Is that what God created there? No. God presented the gospel there in the sky, and the Satan perversed that. That's how it works. You know, and sometimes we don't know. I didn't know growing up as a child, but then all of a sudden start to hear about things, horoscopes, and what is that? And then speaking about those formation of the stars and so, oh, they have a name for them. But no, God has the names for them. And that's the start. That's the beginning. So the world perverts that. But to see and to understand, I will not be able to explain it all here, yeah? Understand it right. I'm just wanting to present to us so that we be not confused when we hear those things. We look into the scriptures and see that David was speaking about that. And then, there is no horoscope, basically. That's what we want to say. There is the gospel in the heaven presented to us. Psalm 97. Want to have you some words. Verse 6 to 12. The heavens declare his righteousness, on all the people see his glory. I don't know how David at that time could see that all and understand that all. He probably had more knowledge of that as we have today. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Saying gods, he says the powers or mighty man or so on. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art nigh about, above all the earth, high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the soul of his saints. He delivers them out of the hands of the wicked. Light is shown for the righteous, and the gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. He's again speaking about declaring, yeah? And verse 10 says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Well, he's speaking to us. That's what is there, declaring the glory of God. And what the world and the Satan has created there and lives by and explains their lives according to it. Hate that evil. They made them lots of gods and follow those and still follow and fear. So we know that history a little bit. Hate that evil. Love the Lord and see God in that all, in his creation. What that speaks to us. We find in Romans chapter 1 such words. We know that's this perverse, this horoscope and all that. And in Romans chapter 1, beginning verse 18, we read so. For the wrath of God revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. There we been called to love the righteousness and truth and so on. And he says, for the wrath of God reveals from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Covering that which God is speaking there, declaring in the sky, that truth they want to hide in unrighteousness, you know? Because that which may be known of God manifested in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation on the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So anyone who looks and sees the creation of God is without excuse. They are easy to understand. They all speak of the God, that he is the mighty and the only one. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. When we turn away from God, the darkness comes in. And that's what happened there. When people seeing that, and the Satan put in their hearts, they perverse that whole thing and made it dark. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like of corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into the lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So that's what happened. Then what happened to men? People fear the sky, fear the stars, bow down and worship them. Not as God wanted. They don't understand them as God has created for and given them a purpose to see his glory, to see his gospel there. That's what happened, and God gave them to the foolishness, and they go. So we need to be very careful. God wrath on those who suppress the truth. What is suppressing the truth these days? And we know that the horoscope is one of those things. But what else is suppressing the truth these days? That the people are in bondage of things. There's many more things. Joseph mentioned the phones and so on, where we become deceived, you know, and corrupt ourselves. But there's traditions. There's traditions which corrupt us too. And through the traditions, we sometimes don't see the truth of the Bible, of the truth of the Word of God, because their tradition stands in the way. Yeah? And so it's, God is just. As a result of those things that the people became so corrupted, as a result of that, of his justice, God destroyed the first world with justice. God is just. And with justice, he destroyed the first world. So, and we stop here and start to go into more of creation. I will go a little over from Adam to Noah and the flood. That's how God, where God has destroyed the world, the first world. When, if you've been careful, you might have been interested in to find out how long it took the first world, the life until the flood. Who knows those days? How many years it's been? It's probably about 40 years ago. I've studied on it, and then I got, not too long ago, a couple of years ago, I think maybe, again into that and to confirm those things again in my memory. And so it took only 1,656 years. Not much. It's not much. That's how corrupt the world became already at that time, that God could not bear this world. So far, the people have corrupted themselves. So God destroyed that world through the flood. But the sad part is that after the flood, from Noah to Abram, it took only 350 years. From the flood to Abram, till Abram came on the scene. So that makes together 2,006 years. So in seeing that, that's 2,006 years, it's 350 years to it, from Noah to Abram. Counting those years, I found out that the life of Noah and the life of Abram overlapped about 60 years. So it must be, it looks like, maybe Abram got to know Noah. Maybe visited with him. Maybe heard about the flood and all of that, yeah? That's just thinking, yeah? So then nations, or the people multiplied then so much already that at that time, 350 years, happened something, the falling away. People could go back to Noah and ask, what, why happened that? Why the world got destroyed? So Noah could tell them all. And in that time, very close to Noah, his grandson was cursed because of the corruption of his son. See what happens there? We know how quick can be corrupted. We ourselves, in our lives. We are careful reading the Bible. We can see, especially reading through, I did read lately through Chronicles and Kings and so on, that portion. You find, here's the father serving the Lord, loving the Lord, and right beside the son is so corrupt, overthrowing everything what the father did in the service to God. And so it goes down. It just, he knows the father, father's heart, and here the son is so corrupt. We see how quick it can go, how that can progress. And then a couple generations like that, and rises again the son, and does exactly opposite to the father. Destroys everything what the father has done. How he corrupted the nation, rises up and destroys it, roots it out, and serves the Lord with the whole heart. How can that happen? You know, we can find that we are the same, having the same nature like those people. That's just for a little bit of thinking for us. Not blaming the people of that time, but to understand how we can be. And yeah, and maybe look at our walk ourselves and see when we first got to know God, are we still in the first love with God? Is Jesus still the center of our life? Are we clinging to him as we did then in Revelation? God accuses one, the church, you have lost the first love, you know? So maybe there is time for us to stop and check our lives. You know, reading through Leviticus and Numbers, it seems to us to be dry books, Leviticus and Numbers. But treasures of Christ are for the far too numerous and too deep and marvelous for us to comprehend. I'm sometimes reading too in those books, and I have a hard time to cross the lines, kind of make it sense out of it, you know. But there is a lots of truths, marvelous truths, and they are hard to comprehend. We have to be very focused, or have a desire to find out, read with a purpose, study with a purpose, then we can find out those things in those books. And again, they speak about Christ, about the gospel, but they are hard to get at one glance, you know. If we want to see that at once, we will have a problem. At the top surface, some truths we get, yeah? But it takes sometimes years to find out the jewels, those hidden jewels in those books. But there is, we know that there is a line going from the creation unto this day through all these books of the Bible. But they are for us open there, and if we want, we can find them, if we will not be perverse in our mind. But those which are seek will be rewarded. Because the Bible says, who seeks will find, who knocks to them will be open. So if we want to understand, I said in the beginning, as I was young, I was reading and I could not bring those things together, yeah? It took years, and it never left my mind free. Why? Where is the, what is wrong? Why do we have it like we have? Why it doesn't make sense to me? In Genesis chapter 3, is verse 15, it says so. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise her thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Here is the fall of man, and God says this will be. This already in the beginning, God speaks of what will happen, how the Savior will die, and how the salvation will come, and so on. Yeah, and promising a seed, and there is a hidden treasure in this already here in this passage. And so, and here we start to read, and we at the beginning we would not understand when we read that, but when God choose to reveal little by little those things to us, those treasures, he knew the seed will come, would die, and would rise the third day. God said it. Will arise the third day. You pay attention to the third day. Genesis chapter 1 is a beautiful passage here. I said, pay attention to the third day. Already by the creation, God pointed the third day out special. It was a special day. What happened on the third day? Who can tell? Okay, read here Genesis 1, verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and he gathered together of the waters called, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs yielded seed, and the fruits, fruit trees yielded fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herbs yielded seed after his kind, and the tree yielded fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. So, after darkness, after everything, God brought it all apart. What happened? Life sprung up. God created life. Out of darkness, out of nothing, out of chaos, and the third day God created life. Brought life. It's very important. He is a hidden treasure already of God's truth. The third day, creation of life, beauty, it typifies the resurrection. Hidden parts of truth. Genesis chapter 5. We find out here, I probably will not read this, in the chapter 5, starting in verse 3, and we read here how long Adam lived until the Noah came up. It was about 10 generations, and Noah built the ark. The ark actually typifies Christ, hidden treasure. So here, yes, most of you coming out of Hutterite background know how you will, you have been treated and scared with the ark, yeah? So you might know that very well. So, but this is a hidden treasure. The ark was a type of Christ, shadow. Noah and his family, type of the church. Safe in Christ. Saved in the ark. Again, a hidden treasure, yeah? Church, safe. And very interesting when I was looking at that, yeah? Ark. God exactly prescribed how Adam should build the ark. We know how the ships are built these days, yeah? There's somebody, these days maybe not, but in the old days, it was the captain standing on the top of his platform, looking far in the horizon and steering the ship with a wheel there, yeah? So the ship was could maneuver as he wanted it, yeah? So that's how it did. But building this ark, we find out there was no place for Adam standing on top. The waters would wash him off. So he will not be able to steer that ship. There was no sail, no wheel to steer the ship, this ark. What does it tell to us? God steered the ark to the right place where it would rest on the mountain of Ararat. Yeah? Can we steer our salvation? Is there a way we can do that? How we can be saved? That ship of salvation? We read, I think it's Ephesians, says God's gift is it. We can do nothing to it except we accept it. Yeah? We can't steer that. God presents it to us, puts into that. Say, go now. Now you're safe. You just accept it. That's a very beautiful picture for us. We have no right to steer that, and we can't. So go to Genesis chapter 8. Here we find verse 4. It says, so, and the ark rested in the 7th month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. What is here? 7th month on the 17th day. What is hidden here? But there is a treasure. Very interesting. God's plan is at all. 7 month and 17th day, it's a type again. The ark was lifted out of the waters on the 17th day of the month Abib. If we go to Hebrew, that's called the month Abib. It is if we look at this and go through the scriptures, we find out nearly 2,400 years later, Jesus rose from the dead on that very day. It is 4,056 years from the creation. 2,400 years it took when Jesus, on this very day, on the same month and the very same day, 17th, rose from the dead. Is it a blind accident? It's hidden treasures of the truth, which the devil wants to hide from us, which are not visible at first point. We need to get into that, to study that, to find those things out. So that's so that our faith can be grounded and be solid and we not be moved in what we believe and how we trust God and how trust His Word. It took me many years until that issue was settled in my heart, you know, say about 40 years about so, until that issue was settled in my heart when that word came up, tradition. And all of a sudden it rolled all in place. The Bible is true. There is no mistake. It's just what the people have done to it, what the devil has done to it. You know, okay, we'll go further here. See how we can get in time. In the 20th generation, Abram rise. Genesis chapter 11. We read about this here, beginning verse 10. There are generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begot, and so on, yeah? 2 years after the flood. And it goes, and then comes to not to read all, saving time. No, there are generations of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and so on. So Abram comes up, and the 20 generations later, from the beginning of the creation, Abram rises, and we see God said here in chapter 12, He said, "And I will bless them that bless thee," chapter 12, verse 3, "and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall be all families of the earth be blessed." So why? And an interesting thing is God, when He spoke with Abraham, He said, "I will not hide that from Abraham when he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He will tell his generations," and so on. And so we see that Abraham was found faithful to continue to bring this message, continue to tell probably that what he heard from Noah and so on, tell what happened. And so this history went on. And so God said, "I will bless." In Hebrew, chapter 11, oops, that's what happened. Chapter 11, we read verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. This scripture here is very important. And God said to Abram here that he, and then we read in the beginning, in the verse chapter, in the beginning of Genesis, that God promised to by him be salvation and so on, yeah? And blessings of Abram. In Genesis chapter 22, we read verse 3 and 4. And Abram rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and cleave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God has told him. Then, again, pay attention here. Then, on the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. What does this say to us? We see that Abram, God asked, he is here, Noah preparing the ark, Abram is doing something in faith too. Noah did build an ark, not seeing something to come, but he did something. God asked from Abram to offer his son. He by faith does it. And he is the blessing hidden for us. He split the wood, he prepared everything, rose up and went. Even having the conversation on the way with Isaac. And so on, he went side by side with his son, and in his heart, Isaac was dead. He already offered him. In his heart, Isaac was dead. It just had to happen yet. So, and he believed that God can raise him out of death. That's how Abram's faith was. He believed God, that God can do that. And here we see the third day again, which is a type of hidden treasures. Speaking again, God seeing, I look at this scripture like that. You know, I don't know how you look at that scripture. But God was trying Abram here, and he was going to do that. God had a plan of the salvation to give his only begotten son to save us. He was trying to find out, will the man of faith give up his son for me? It was a trial. Abram was on trial. So that God can bless, seeing his heart, bless him and in the faith of Abram, all of us. Genesis 22, the same chapter, we read here in verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abram, Abram. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. We see that he was in trial. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thickest by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him upon the burnt offering in the stead of his son. So he said on the way to his son, God will provide. Such faith. Let that speak to us when God asks us something to give up for his sake. How do we do that? Are we able? He is very close to the heart. The only one, the promised one, in whom should be all the blessings and who should inherit all his riches and all that life. And God requested that. But still, Abraham was trusting and was ready for God's sake. And Jesus said, who loves anyone, anything more than me is not worthy. So Abraham proved that he loved God above everything. On the third day, God gives here types and shadows, pointing directly to Jesus Christ. How amazing it is. You know, even the whole world's Muslim world remembers that day. They have a special feast, actually. Day when they remember how Abraham went to offer Isaac. That's amazing. The whole world can know that. How the faith of Abraham was tested. And Joseph is one of the types and shadows of the salvation too, in whom God gave salvation to the house of Jacob. Six generations after Abraham, God calls Moses to lead his people out of Egypt and to write this history, giving the details. So we know that, like I already mentioned, that God said he will not withhold that from Abram. Abram will tell his children. And so we see that history, the humanity went with the people of the house of Jacob. And Moses, one of them, now was giving the whole history of the Old Testament and giving the law to the people. And the details, everything was given there. And the types and shadows and so on. Through Moses, God was giving that to preserve that, to give to us to understand and see the miracles and wonders of God and God's greatness and majesty and so on. And Moses at that time, the founder of the Old Testament and law, which are shadows of the Christ, pointed out in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 to 18, that God will give you a prophet like me, pointing to Christ. So, and he said, of him should ye hear, you should listen him and pay attention to that, what he will say to you. Sacrifices of the Old Testament were just the shadows. We just jumped that over that all. Old Testament, we know that. And it says here in chapter 10, sacrifices and shadows of good things to come. And the very image of the truth is in Jesus Christ. See if chapter 10, verse 1 says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continue to make the comers thereunto perfect. So, and then in the Colossians chapter 2, verse 17 says, speaks again about the law and so on. Says here in verse 17, which are the shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. The reality is Christ. So Christ is the center of life. So we have to be careful. Is Christ really a center of our life, a personal life or church life? So types and shadows, God picture gallery of person and work of Jesus Christ, jewels for diggers. That's how I explain, express that. That's a jewels for diggers. For those which want to find them, they will find them. Before the tabernacle was built, God instituted the Passover. At that point, the calendar was changed. Last half of the year got the preeminence for the first half. God did something here, changed the calendar, and by that calendar, Jewish people go today. Exodus chapter 12. We read so, starting verse 3. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Yeah. And if the house, okay, we skip that to the verse 6. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, day 14. Seventh month here, we continue here, we'll find out that the seventh month became the first month, God said. Here it should be, okay, here, so verse 2 says, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, it shall be the first month of the year. This is a big thing to God. He starts life. God presents something to the world and to us, especially, that God has started, again, new life, first month. That's where Israel was delivered from the out of Egypt. Exodus chapter 13, I'd like to mention this again here, verse 3 and 4. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for the strength, for by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out of the in the month Abib. In the month Abib, ye came out. That's the first month. Okay. Again, shadows and types. of much greater deliverance here. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 5, we read so, verse 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us. That's, again, that type, that time was a shadow for Christ. The month Abib got changed to renamed to a month of Nisan. It happened in the Babylonian captivity. If you want to read that and you find out, in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1, Esther 3, verse 7, where again, big deliverance was done by for the Jewish people during that captivity, Babylonian captivity. No change of reality, but the name has changed because Babylonians call that month Nisan. Passover on the 14th day of the first month, Jesus died on Calvary. We have noticed that he has several foreshadows of a third day resurrection. And Jesus declared it by himself. He would rise on the third day, Matthew, if you want to read 16:21. And we believe it is truth. That's why I struggled with those things. Reading. Jesus said on third day. But how this happening that we do Friday and then Sunday? It's only 2 days. So that was my struggle from youth, from small and as a child, maybe 12 years old. So. And in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 confirms, it says, as according to the scriptures, 15 verse 4. According to the scriptures, Paul writes. God, Bible, and the numbers are perfect, precise. We should not doubt them. And because it's all going according to the scriptures, that the Bible, that the prophets or the Bible be fulfilled, the words of the prophets be fulfilled, so it says. So here, if we would pay a little bit attention, what happens here, where the confusion comes in, Leviticus chapter 23, the 15th day, Abib, Nisan, Est from Exodus, so on, 23, Leviticus 5 to 7 says, in the 14th day of the first month of at the even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. And the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no several work therein. So that is a special day, a feast day. The 15th day. Passover on the 14th, 15th is the feast. In John, Gospel of John, we read such a verse in chapter 19. We read in verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was a preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, and listen to what they're saying here, for that Sabbath was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Preparation day was 14, so here is the feast on that Sabbath day. This Sabbath day was surpassing the weekly Sabbaths. It would lead us to observe what? Good Thursday instead of Good Friday. Here is something hidden. The traditions had hid that, covered that before our eyes, and then we struggle. And many people struggle these days and are confused. On the 14th, as the Jesus was crucified, and on the 17th, he rose. And Matthew chapter 12, Jonah, verse 40, says Jonah is the type of this. This is Hebrew Passover. This is the gospel in all of those types and shadows. Like an ark rested on the 17th day of the seventh month, which is now the first, is Passover, Genesis 3, the third day, resurrection, declares, Genesis 8:4 declares of resurrection the third day. They all pointing to day three, like creation, the day of resurrection, like Abraham received Isaac on the third day, again alive. And Genesis 22, 3 and 4, and Hebrews 11, 19, we read that, Hebrews 11, 19. I just skip some of those scriptures for sake of time. Accounting that God was unable to raise him up, even from the death, from whence also he received him as a figure. So as a figure again. A type and resurrection to Jesus Christ. It was Isaac. So going through this, studying this out, I'm sure I'm not be able to bring all that and point everything out at just some of the types and shadows and biblical truth and so on. But there is many more things the Bible has in store for us. It means just for us, believe and live. Believe the word of God. Be not confused. If God says 3 days, it's 3 days. If God says in the first month, it is the first month. It's not the last month. And so we can understand better when we go and find out the Bible step by step what God wants to tell us. God wants us to be solid in our faith and believe when we read the Word of God, believe it. Don't struggle with it like I did struggle for many years, doubting. And that's where the devil is very good at, bringing the people to doubt. To take the faith away through the doubt, you know? And I know that how he tried that with me. So I want to just bringing this, help you to understand, trust the word of God. That's truth, a hidden truth. And God is just and he stands to his word. So that means worship God in your free heart when you read the Bible, believe it as it is, as it says. Reject the devil's ideas about the horoscope and traditions and all kind of those things. God, when he brought out the people of Israel out of Egypt, he presented to them some the law and gives him, you have to choose now. What do you do with that? You can be blessed, you can be cursed. You accept or you reject. There's happening those things all over. Israel was to choose life or curse, death, let's say. One day, after Israel came already into the land of promised land and did conquer it, Joshua got the people together. You've seen how the people drift from God. In his heart, Joshua purposed to be faithful to God. And he called the people and said, what did you say to the people? I and my house who will serve the Lord. But ye choose now. What do you want? What did the people say? We will serve the Lord. Joshua said, stop. Stop. You cannot. Well, that was a shock, I believe, to those people. He said, no, you cannot. Why? Why were they not be able? Because they have drifted. They had embraced idols in their life. They start to serve other gods beside God. And that did go many times through the nation of Israel and Judah and so on. They drifted so much, so God had them put to stop and say, no, you cannot. Well, what do you want? Then he said, then, go home and clean your house, clean your hearts, throw out the idols. You live in idolatry. So it can happen to us too, that God makes a stop in our life. Say, no, you can't go farther on. You can't grow. You have to go to this process of sanctification first. Check your household. Maybe you have some idols in your life or in your house. So this whole thing speaks to us. So what do we believe? The doctrine of the Bible or the doctrines of the world? Our Passover is Christ, which was sacrificed on the 14th day and rose on the 17th day of the first month of Abib. It's biblical calendar. What do we have as Christians to do with the calendar, Kirillian calendar of the pagans? Good Friday. You know, I just looked up, what is a year 2024 bringing to us? When is the biblical calendar? When Jesus is the Passover? It is April 23. So, and resurrection is on 26. But according to the Kirillic calendar, it's in March. So what do we do with all of this? You know, sometimes we have we have to face those things in our life. What do we do? How do we serve the God so that we can be blessed? So we have to pay attention. We can be mixed up by the hidden devices of the devil, like in Romans we were reading, yeah? Which prevent us and make us struggle and hinder us to grow in faith. So I decided just to present it to you as I was to had to do that in my life and decide what I do with those things yet. When I decided in my life not to mingle into those traditions and leave them out of my life, people got offended and actually separated, pushed me out of their lives, you know. They thought I'm a heretic. So it can happen to us, everyone, when we stand for the truth. And the Word of God is truth, and God is just. May God bless you.